What's up, coffee people? Joel here. Hey, this is episode 6 of the 4th season of the Craft Your Own Coffee podcast. And oh boy, today do we have a good one. I had the pleasure of Zooming with Chris DeFerio, the host of the Keys to the Shop podcast, which is a podcast that I highly recommend everyone here check out. Chris is an award-winning coffee professional and coffee shop consultant with 22 years in the retail specialty coffee industry. In addition to being a 3-time latte art champion, you guys, and a U.S. Barista Championship finalist? Oh my word. Chris has also been able to help thousands of people through his in-person speaking and training at trade shows, industry associations, and even outside of coffee in the world of wine and beer. Chris has a lot of influence in this space. So for the past 5 years, Chris has been serving the coffee industry through his internationally recognized coffee podcast and consulting company, Keys to the Shop, which gives listeners insights, inspiration, and tools to grow and thrive in their careers and their coffee businesses. We are in for a treat, my friends. Enjoy this episode. Season 4 of the Craft Your Own Coffee podcast is supported by Sweet Maria's Home Coffee Roasting. If you've listened to this podcast before, you know of my love and respect for Sweet Maria's. They are curators of some of the highest quality green coffee from around the world. Their selection is incredible. Their attention to detail is impeccable. And they're built to serve the home coffee enthusiasts like you and me. So this season, for all you coffee people listening, Sweet Maria's is giving us 15% off one order of green coffee between now and July 1st, 2022 by using the discount code CYOCOFFEE, all caps, one word, at checkout, CYOCOFFEE. Super generous. Big shout out to Byron and Tom and the team at Sweet Maria's for being awesome and supportive of our community of home coffee lovers. Visit sweetmarias.com to check them out. Hey, Chris, it is, man, a complete pleasure to spend some time with you today. Just was able to run through your background here for the listeners, but since we're talking face-to-face on Zoom here, just why don't you give me and us a brief overview? Who are you? What do you care about? Where do you live? And I'll throw in a fun one here too. Maybe your first, earliest, memorable coffee experience.
Oh, wow. Okay, great. I'll hit them all. Thank you. And thank you for having me on your show. I really appreciate it. It's really an honor.
Thank you. So
I am Chris, and I am an old guy in coffee. I'm 43, 22 years now in specialty coffee. All the ups and downs that you go through in over 2 decades of coffee, you can expect just, I've been fired. I've been hired. I've been a good boss, a bad boss. I was, one of the people that was able to be in specialty coffee during the beginning of the third wave coffee movement, starting in the early 2000s, and was a participant in that, and a lot of latte art stuff early on as well. Championships in latte art was one of the reasons I got into competition. I was able to do a lot more competition stuff throughout my my career as I, just cut my teeth in the small to medium sized coffee bar. I worked as a barista, and I was behind the bar for most of my career, just diving deep into the industry. And it just, my desire always was to just get deeper into specialty coffee, but specifically into the craft and the operations of cafes, because that's really where I learned to love coffee, and it's still what drives me today. I'm from upstate New York originally, but I live in Louisville, Kentucky with my wife and my son, my 8-year-old boy, Roman, wife Lindsay, and we like it here. It's not quite the South, I guess. I mean, you're over there in Atlanta, probably looking at people in Louisville saying it's the South, with your head tilted to the side, like not really. But for me, it's incredibly hot and uncomfortable, and I kind of have acclimated to it. And remind me your last question here.
Yeah. So just a fun one, maybe your earliest memorable coffee experience.
Earliest. Okay. So two come to mind. my grandmother would, you know, she lived in a double wide in a country, in the country of upstate New York. And so I go out to the country, see my grandma, and she would sit down at her, you know, Formica table and I'll crack open the window, light a cigarette, and we would have coffee. And I was just a kid at the time. And that was a memorable experience for me because I, for some reason, I've always been the type of person who, outside of okra, which I detest, I've always enjoyed, are you feeling the same way about okra?
Feeling the same way.
Okay. Thank you. Deep fried, it's not so bad, but you know, it's still, if I know it's there, it's just not great. But I always liked foods, you know, different types of foods. And I was not afraid to try things. And so I didn't really take cream or sugar in my coffee. I always drank it black with my grandma. And then fast forward to the time where I became enamored with coffee as its own sort of subject for me personally was, you know, I had just gotten done with a ministry school in Northwest Arkansas and was trying to figure out a career for myself. I went to a place called called Arcega's, and that's still around in Northwest Arkansas. In fact, this is their 30th year in business this year, 2022, in Fayetteville and Springdale, Arkansas. But I remember having a mug of coffee, just journaling and reading and realizing that I could taste the difference between the two air pots that they were serving. And just that moment, I really was fascinated that, oh, this like Huehuetenango, like Guatemala, I can tell the difference between this and the Papua New Guinea. And I think it really was those two origins. And to this day, you know, that's what started sort of my fascination with the coffee industry.
Man, I love that. So a grandparent influence and a cafe experience.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess now 30 years later, they're, you know, kind of like coffee shop grandparents.
That's so good, man. Yeah. Northwest Arkansas has a few more, especially coffee shops now in that area than they used to.
Oh yeah. Onyx is actually, taken over the location of that exact cafe that I got into coffee in.
Oh, that's a great story. It's interesting. Cause I'm drinking, you know, if you're listening here, you can't see this, but Chris can see it. I'm drinking out of a very special mug myself. This was my grandfather's mug and he's part of my early coffee story.
Oh, great.
He had persistent coffee breath and I loved it. I just thought it smelled great. I never thought it was gross. And he always drank out of this mug. He passed a couple years ago. But grandparent influence, I can relate to that. So, well, Chris, thanks for sharing. That's great to get to know you just on a more personal level. I want to talk about Keys to the Shop podcast. So, and all the other work that you do through Keys to the Shop. I was telling you before we hit record, just how much of a fan I am of your podcast, your level of expertise, your generosity to share, with others. You bring a lot of really amazing guests on, and I think you serve a pretty specific group, of coffee industry folks with a really, really great suite of services. So maybe just talk through, like, why did you start Keys to the Shop? Who is it for, if someone hasn't listened to the podcast before? And then, you know, what's kept you motivated to keep this thing going for I think 5 years, right?
Yeah, it's 5 years and some change, right? Well, really, you know, at the time I started Keys to the Shop, I had been, it'd been 18 years of coffee work or there around. And the reason why I started it was that I, as a manager, I had been in a training position and management position and lots of different capacities throughout my career. I always kind of had to make it up as I went along. Nobody really ushered you in to that position. Yet that position is one of the most consequential and important ones in the cafe. The old adage is that people leave managers, not jobs. And I found that to be true. And maybe I was that manager and trainer. Definitely. You know, as you hack it out, you know, tick people off and other people will sing your praises. And that kind of flailing towards success didn't really, I didn't like it, you know. So I always would search for management books and leadership books and eventually podcasts around that subject. And one of my earliest, you know, podcast influences was, who is now a good friend of mine, Dave Stachowiak. of the Coaching for Leaders podcast. He's been a guest on the show, and I have it on his as well. But I remember just going for walks and listening to him talk about leadership and his guests talk about leadership. And it was a very specific focus on that podcast of giving you actionable insights. There wasn't a whole lot of morning show banter, insider baseball, all that stuff. And that has its place. But at the time in the industry, it didn't exist. And so I wanted to create that for the industry because I knew, especially being on the ground level of this movement of coffee in my career, that there are an enormous number of people who have wisdom accumulated, but not curated. And so that's exactly what Keys to the Shop serves, is to take that wisdom that's specifically related to coffee shops and coffee shop operations and leadership and management of those operations, and give it to give people those insights in interviews and in solo podcasts and the like. And so it's really morphed into this, you know, platform that where we've covered a ton of subjects. You know, when you think about a coffee shop, there's a lot of relevant subjects that come up. And so over the years, we've covered, you know, green buying and sensory science and leadership, just cultural issues and things like that. But they're all related to what does it mean for you as a barista or a coffee shop owner, manager tomorrow, next week? What are you going to do to be better? And so it will help us all be better if we just kind of get more of these ideas out there. And that's the whole goal of this.
I love it. So primarily your audience is coffee industry folks, whether it's barista or kind of aspiring barista maybe, or coffee shop owner, right? But you've also got guys like me that listen to your podcast because I'm just a home enthusiast. If you've listened to any of my podcast episodes or heard my background, I'm not in coffee. I've never actually worked in coffee. I tinker and I've grown my hobby over time, and I was drawn to your podcast. So it's interesting. Would you say your primary audience, it sounds like, is coffee industry folks, is what I'm hearing you say?
Well, yes, it is the primary audience. But you know something? The longer you live, the more you see that the principles that give you success in your little niche are universally applied to, I don't care if you manufacture fire hoses or make coffee, it's the same thing. So it's not surprising that you, not in the coffee industry, saw that. I'm not saying that to like make myself sound great. I'm just saying that when you put this evidence of wisdom out there, I think it attracts people because that's what we're looking for. And I will push back on you a little bit here and say that producing your podcast does take work. So technically you work in coffee. So
good. Congrats. I'll take that badge. I will take that all day long. All right, Chris. So I got a question for you. You're talking with, and we didn't really talk about your consulting arm. I want to give you some airtime to talk about that too, because I know that's, a big piece of the services you provide to coffee folks. But as you think about, the guests you've had on Keys to the Shop podcast, the people you've had a chance to consult and help open cafes, the baristas you've talked to, you're talking with coffee industry people all the time. So give us a sense of what is it like today, 2022, to work in coffee in whatever spectrum that looks like.
Yeah, well, I think that does tie into consulting because I get to talk to a lot of people in their, just starting out phase and other people who are already operators. But in my own career, I've been able to experience a large segment of what it's like to work in coffee. What's like to work in coffee now? Right now, it's a great time. I think it's a bad time and a good time to be a barista. To be a barista right now means you're going to be more successful in creating great coffee than you would have been years ago. There's way more equipment and technology and support and resources that will allow you to find success sooner. All of us with, just our candle lit Google searches and carpal tunnel, now, after all those years of figuring it out, have we would look at this and say, well, this is a golden age of opportunity to create great coffee. But with that opportunity means, you know, there's been this expansion where it's now more commonplace to find good coffee. That's a good thing. But I think there's been a devaluing more so of the barista lately because of how ubiquitous specialty coffee is. When the chains got a hold of specialty coffee and third wave coffee, when you see, you know, Starbucks and others take on the specialized versions of their brand because they see the validity of this way of making coffee. Inevitably, we see that baristas aren't as valued because it's more of a commodified position in America, at least. So right now, I think there's a lot of opportunity for people who, let's just break it down into categories. People who want to open coffee bars and people who work in coffee bars. Now, people who want to open coffee bars have the option to start sort of a cookie cutter coffee operation. You know, the framework for doing that has been proven over time. So you can just enter in. There's a pretty low barrier of entry. And so you can start your coffee shop. I'm not a big fan of the idea that it's a low barrier to entry because there's a lot of people who just have a dream to open a coffee shop. They do, but they end up really kind of, it would have been better if they had not, or if they had just taken some time to work in the industry prior to doing it.
Can I ask you, just sorry to interrupt you, but
sure.
Is that because the dream of the coffee shop exceeds the craft of the coffee? Is that kind of what you're saying as far as it'd be better if they hadn't?
Well, because they themselves are not prepared for what it's like to actually work in and run a coffee shop and lead people, particularly. I mean, you know, you could kind of figure out the key performance indicators and, you know, your labor cost and what you need for profitability. You can collect all that information, but without the wisdom that comes from participating in the industry, or if you can't participate in the industry prior to opening, just being the type of person who has set yourself, has been a lifelong learner and has some humility in people skills, without those things, you're just not going to do very well. And so right now working in coffee, you've got a lot of opportunity, but you have opportunity for either good or bad, right? Baristas can get into a shop that has a ton of great equipment branded out the yin yang. You know, it's just so, it looks like a dream, but then it's a nightmare to work for because the people who opened it just threw a ton of money at it and they, you know, didn't know, you know, what they were doing or they don't care. And the opposite is also true. There's great people who open great coffee bars, but the hard thing is knowing who is who, you know, knowing what's a good opportunity and what's not a good opportunity. And I think that's kind of what motivates me is to say, with all of this resource that's out there and the branding that covers up a multitude of sins, so we don't know who the good people are until you've been hurt by them, but the bad people, and you're like, well, it's not them. I know that, but a little bit too late. So the show is hopefully a catalyst to say, first, if you're somebody opening a coffee bar, think about this, think about yourself, think about what you're getting into and determine if this really is the right move for you. And then here's some things that you need to pay attention to so you don't subject people unnecessarily to these certain ineptitudes or these lacks. And if you're a barista, know what good looks like. You know how to, you know, create opportunity for your own career and don't rely so much on other people, you know, making decisions for you. Take charge, take some ownership over the process and don't just plug yourself into a coffee bar. And if you're opening a coffee bar, just don't plug in templates and then expect out the other end, you're going to get this coffee bar. I think both parties could do with a lot more of that self-determination and examination and humility.
That's good. I love the word humility. I mean, baked into that's curiosity, right?
Yeah.
Just asking the right questions, not assuming you either know it all already or don't need to know things. So this is a good segue because I've as I have been a fan and a listener of your show over the past several years, you have a series called Founder Friday, right? And I really kind of lean into those as you bring on entrepreneurs that have decided to make the leap and do what you just talked about, like open a coffee shop. And, you know, I think I listened to one recently with a female entrepreneur that just, you know, started off hawking coffee on the sidewalk in her neighborhood.
Yeah,
that was great. Yeah. I loved her energy and her story and her passion and how that translated into, you know, a brick and mortar. So as you've had, you know, these conversations with the coffee shop operators, the entrepreneurs, and you just alluded to, you know, there's pitfalls. It might be easy. Money could make it easy to start up. There might not be as many barriers, but should you? So, you know, what have you heard and learned and seen that what does it take to be successful when you think about translating entrepreneurial desire into success with a coffee shop business?
I think it takes patience, and it takes being grounded in the why behind what you're doing. That's why Diana Martinez, who the entrepreneur you're talking about, Cafe Calle, South LA, fantastic company and fantastic person. So that is exactly why she was successful. Like every day she would be on the street making coffee. And in the interview, she talked about how she wasn't really considering it a business. But I think that's somewhat of the mindset that people have to have, because yes, you have to be aware of the business part of it, right? You have to be aware of the licensing and the financials. You have to stay in tune with reality while you're pursuing the dream to make the dream a reality. However, that's people tend to focus a little bit too much on one or the other. I think you need a mix of both. So patience, I say, is a virtue here, because a lot of people will call me up and they'll want some consulting about, you know, opening a coffee shop. They say, well, we're opening in 2 months and we'd really like to get somebody in to talk about, you know, the ABCs of coffee and business and things like that. That's a really hard place to be in, because and I've turned people down before just simply because either A, after talking to them for an hour, I feel like this is not you're just not the type of person who should be leading people. And we've unfortunately had some conversations like that, but you're not going to be prepared in 2 months. And what you're going to be doing is you're going to be experimenting on your staff and your customers. And reflexively, I just tell people, take what you think it's going to take to open a coffee shop and double it. Do that for time and do that for money. So if you're saying, oh, I think we can get open for 100, make it 200. Why don't you? Okay. Don't undercapitalize your business. That's a sure way to fail. But don't undercapitalize your business with time and resources. So, and also you could spend a long time opening a coffee bar, but not all time is spent well. So somebody could say, yeah, you know, gosh, I've been in the business for 22 years. Like I've been, but I could have just been wasting that entire time, you know, and not learning a single thing. And you don't know, it's just impressive to hear how long it took. And so we fill in the blank and we're charitable in that way. So you need to be spending time on the right things. So one of the earliest episodes that we had was called the top 10 ways or 10 steps to being a people first leader. And everything you do in the business, it has to be people oriented. That is first your customer, or I will reverse that, first your staff and then your customer, which may or may not be controversial, but you have to create a good experience for both people. And how you spend your time in the process of opening a coffee shop will, you know, should be focused on, okay, if I'm going to put a checklist in, how is that? Can I make a realistic checklist? Can I, you know, if I'm hiring for a barista, I need to know what I'm expecting them to do. I need to ask those questions. Then what? how are we going to do that? When is it going to happen? Who does this person need to be in the business? Back to curiosity. There's a lot of those questions that just don't get asked because we're out of our depth and we haven't given ourselves enough time. And then we hope that maybe a really good Google search or hiring a consultant will make up for it. And without that time and attention, it's just not going to happen.
That's so good, man. There's so much to unpack there. I'm glad we got it recorded because I think coming back will be super helpful. So I'm going to keep pulling kind of a similar thread because you're touching on some things that I was looking forward to learning from you on just around just general advice for the hobbyist. So maybe if you could help me, put your brain specifically, not on the coffee industry professional, but on the hobbyist, the person at home that is like, man, I just, I'm roasting coffee. I've had that experience that you had in Northwest Arkansas, where I can start to see how unique and interesting coffee is. I'm investing more in equipment at my own house. Like I want to share this with my friends, my family. Maybe I want to do something more substantial with coffee. So that's primarily the audience of folks that are listening to this podcast. There are some shop owners, but primarily it's the hobbyist. So if you're speaking directly to someone in that frame where it's like, hey, I've got this hobby. I've been tinkering. I've been wondering where this might be headed. It might just stay a hobby and that's totally fine too. But what are some of those questions? So this isn't the person that's 2 months away from opening a cafe. This is maybe a person that's like years or maybe never away from getting kind of in the brick and mortar cafe space. What questions should they be asking right now? Who should they be talking to just to get some better perspective on this whole kind of where is my hobby headed question?
Well, it's a good question. Yeah, because a lot of people go from hobbyist to professional. And I think the number one question you have to ask yourself is, who's doing what I want to do right now? And who do I respect and why? So some people are in towns where there aren't any examples of that. Well, thankfully we have the internet and maybe that could be a rabbit hole for you. So I would first kind of take a step back and say, what's important to you about coffee and about doing this? And if you're thinking about dipping your toe in the commercial aspect of coffee, then you got to think what your goal is. What is your goal? Do you really want a brick and mortar? Do you just want to be a wholesaler? In both instances, you're taking what you're doing and you're systematizing it and multiplying it. So commercializing something is essentially that, to build it at capacity. So you're roasting on a Baymore, or you're brewing on a Ranchillo in your house, and you take that and you graduate to a ProBot roaster, or you go to a single group La Marzocco or something. Now the game has changed because what you've upgraded to allows you to do more stuff for more people. And when you do more stuff for more people, they want to know who you are. And that's really what you need to figure out. You can't just be, oh, I really love coffee and I hope you like it. You really have to brand yourself. And brand is based on values. And values are not just things like, we believe in good coffee. Everyone believes in good coffee. You got to get more specific. You got to get more specific about things like, integrity, or we believe in making sustainable choices in our daily life, and then say how you do that in your business and how you do that it just in the little, big and little areas of life. So I think that's the first thing that you would need to ask yourself. Why are you doing this? What do you hope to accomplish? And who is doing what you're hoping to do? I think the next thing is you would kind of watch them and see what they're doing, and always assume that you don't know exactly what's going on behind the scenes. Always. Like I said earlier, branding covers a multitude of sins. So we hope that the label and the pretty colors will help you not see the cracks in our operations. That's what your job is as a entrepreneur is to take this scaled model of your passion and more or less fix those cracks and figure out how to do this in a way that doesn't create more problems. I always talk about the watch face. You know, if you have a watch on, you don't know all the mechanisms underneath it. You know the convenience that you just get to see what time it is. Customers get to see that watch face. You and your business is all about, it's all about finessing the operations to make sure you can deliver coffee in some form consistently at scale. So I really want to make a meme about this someday, but there's about 1600 different small tools that you have to have lined up on your workbench at home as a home enthusiast to like stir your coffee, to redistribute it, to, you know, twist that and push this and then dust that off and spritz it. And you're trying to make sure that when the pressure is on in this espresso machine, the puck stands up to that pressure and delivers an amazing espresso. So you think about your business like an espresso puck. What do you need to do to create and distribute the ingredients in such a way that when the pressure is on, it's not just going to channel, it's not just going to blow out, it's going to withstand that and extract great stuff from it. That's why I like to look at it.
That's I love that so much. The analogy, how to create your business so it withstands the pressure and deliver great experience, memorable, remarkable experiences. I think that's amazing. So I heard what's important to me kind of over index on the why, if you've got time to think about it, which I'm hearing you advise, you should take a lot of time to think about it and not jump in before you've got this why kind of clarified. I'm hearing you say benchmarking, who's matching those values that I have in my why and who's doing it really well, and just watch them. And then design a business that is built to deliver those experiences behind the scenes that would match your values. Is that a good summary of what you shared?
That's a great summary. Yeah. Yeah. And you have the freedom to build this the way that you want to build it. And I've talked to a few people even this year who have been in the enthusiast camp and transitioning into commercial, where opportunities that were too good to pass up came up and would have made decisions very quickly had it not been for conversations to say, well, slow down. Like, is this the only opportunity? Are you ready for this? Now, people say this about locations that are in the commercial coffee area business. So they already have four or five cafes and they're like, there's this one opportunity that just came up. We're going to open a cafe in a museum at their new gift shop. And it's just too good to pass up. And meanwhile, you know, you can't use toilet paper at their bathroom at HQ because it hasn't been fixed yet because we can't afford that, but we're going to open another shop because it was too good to pass up. So getting into that mindset kind of is a pitfall to say there's this manufactured urgency around opportunity that blinds us to going deeper with the things that we currently have. So I'd rather see people expand down and deep before they expand farther out.
That's great, man. Yeah. I hear that as advice, you know, for the current coffee shop owner that's considering growth and expansion and the person potentially going or considering going from enthusiast to commercial. So that's great. Well, we're wrapping up on time, Chris. I'm so thankful for your generosity, for just sharing what's important to you, what you've learned in coffee with a bunch of hobbyists that are listening to you right now. I'm going to give you just, you know, last word here to plug your business, plug Keys to the Shop. I know we've talked a little bit about it, but how can people learn more about you and maybe what's coming up for you that you'd want people to know about?
Yeah. So, thank you for having me again. This is great. Keys to the Shop is, website's keystotheshop.com. It's on all of the podcast channels out there, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc. It's Keys to the Shop. You can follow us on Instagram at Keys to the Shop. Also, we're in the middle of a series right now in partnership with Roast Magazine called The Rate of Rise Live series. I was at the expo in Boston and got, you know, 10 good interviews, 30-minute interviews with great coffee experts. And so we've just released 4 of those today, and then the final 3 next week. So 3 before this and then 10 overall. In terms of, you know, what you can expect from Keys to the Shop in the future, just more of the same, you know, just trying to curate great conversations. And I'm not sure when this is going to come out, but, we have, Jonathan Gagne of, the, you know, Physics of Filter Coffee on the show coming in probably about 2 or 3 weeks. And we're always just kind of in a rotation of different cool topics that are related to making coffee better. I think my last word to people in the audience about coffee in general, I think would be that you have to, and this is maybe more of a 30,000 foot view of things. If you're a home enthusiast, don't forget why you became an enthusiast. Don't allow yourself to lose touch with the magic that drew you into coffee to begin with. Because in today's ecosystem of media, it's easy to compare and lose your joy. So look at what you've got, practice gratitude, thankfulness, and increase your pleasure in coffee always. And remember why you got into it, whether you decide to make it commercial or not. That's a great practice to do. I think it'll take you a long way.
Man, drop the mic. That's it. Thank you so much, Chris DeFerio. You are awesome. I'm so glad that we got to spend some time together here. I hope we can grab some coffee in Louisville sometime, or if you're in Atlanta, look me up.
Heck yeah. Thank you, Joel.